Kick-Ass Vets, sharing tips to help empower you to take control of your career. Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Kick-Ass Vets podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about kick-ass responses to abusive comments like vets only care about the money. One of the biggest causes of burnout and compassion fatigue in the veterinary industry is the constant battle we have with the public basically treating us like crap. They say terrible, terrible things. They call us heartless B-words. They tell us we're only in it for the money. They tell us we don't care about animals. They threaten to sue us. They threaten bodily harm. They tell us that, you know, if they were a vet, then they would have the money to pay for their animal and, you know, all of the silly, stupid, terrible things that they say to us. You know, you'd rather watch my animal suffer and die than help is one that I've heard. All of these comments are incredibly abusive, and we excuse people because we say, oh, they're upset. Oh, they're just, you know, putting their anger at themselves towards us. But the reality is, it's not okay. It is not okay to allow yourself to be abused when someone else is feeling sad. And it's not okay for the public to come in, yell at us, make us feel bad about ourselves, and put their traumas and their challenges on us emotionally. It's one of the biggest reasons that vets leave the profession. It's a huge source of mental tragedy. It's a huge source of compassion fatigue. It's a huge source of burnout. And what we really need to be doing is standing up for ourselves. A big part of the problem with this abusive nature of clients towards us is their perception of the veterinary industry. Public in general have no concept of what veterinary care and what medical care in general costs. They think that, you know, if we charge $1,000 for treatment or care, that $100 of that or maybe $10 of that is going to actual tangible resources like fluid bags and catheters and that sort of thing. That's if they even think about it at all. And they think everything else is going directly into our pockets. They think that vets are incredibly well paid, and they think that vets are very commonly over-servicing, overselling in an attempt to make money. And a lot of people, when we talk about public being abusive, talk about public education and trying to enlighten and inform clients and inform the public that vets aren't making a ton of money. Medical care does cost, and it's their responsibility to financially pay for their pet. But the reality is, it is very difficult to change people in general, and especially as a group. And vets, because the perception of vets is that we are making all of this money and we are, you know, rolling in dough and overselling, the public don't look at us as helpless polar bears where our ice floes are melting, where everybody really feels bad for the polar bears. We're Scrooge. We're the bad guy. So public is not going to band together to help vets have a better life. It's up to us to change our lives ourselves. And yes, public education is important. Yes, I don't think that we should stop these avenues of trying to improve things. I think every avenue is helpful. But I think what we really need to be doing to protect our own individual mental health is standing up for ourselves right now. We need to demand the respect that we deserve, and we need to not tolerate abuse. And that is the only word for it. Clients are bullies, they're abusive, and they're downright mean, and it is not okay. It is our individual jobs to look after our own mental health and to stand up for ourselves. And that's what this podcast is all about. Before we jump into specific examples of what we can say to these abusive comments, the other thing that I want to point out is that standing up for yourself isn't just important in terms of that interaction with that particular client or member of the public or whoever. in terms of changing their perception and dealing with that initial situation, standing up for yourself is very important for your own mental health, even if nothing changes in that client's mind, even if they leave your clinic and go do it to the next vet. If you have stood up for yourself, you're not going to, for the next 2 weeks, loop on what you could have said, what you should have said, what a jerk they were. When you stand up for yourself in that moment and say, no, I'm not in it for the money. I'm here to protect your animal. I'm here to help your animal. And we need to work together to do that. And you are being abusive and not letting me do my job, or whatever comment you have to say. When you stand up for yourself, that is empowering. And that gives you a sense of respect and value to yourself that is more important than anything else. Once you start using these comments, once you start making these comments to stand up for yourself instead of, you know, laughing it off or brushing it off, you'll start to realize that you're not carrying all of that negative crap with you day to day that you were before. You're not thinking about what I should have said. And it really makes a huge difference in how you feel about your job day to day. All right, so we're going to get into some specific examples of things that clients say and try to give you a few statements or comments that you can memorize and have on hand, have in your pocket. So when they say these things and you start to get upset or you start to get angry, you can just make these little, quick, easy comments and start standing up for yourself. Vets are only in it for the money. How many times have we heard that? You're only in it for the money. You don't care about my animal. What I say to that is respond by letting them know that we do care. So first response, vets care immensely about the animals in our care. We work very hard to ensure they're comfortable and get the best treatment possible. However, in order to provide medical care, we require resources, and that resource from you is financial. We require payment to provide the level of care that we want. Another comment or response you can say that is a little bit more hard-hitting, and this is if a person is being a little bit more aggressive, you can say, by stating that vets are only in it for the money, you're not only contributing to vets having the highest suicide rate of any profession, but the high level of burnout in our profession, and it's not okay for you to make those types of comments. You know, whether or not you feel comfortable getting into that is up to you, but there are some clients that really need to hear that hard truth, that they are part of the problem. Another thing that you can say is that vets care immensely for our patients, and we provide the best level of care that you, the owner, allow us to perform. Medicine costs money, and we can only provide services that we have the finances to be able to perform and provide. Another one that is a little bit more hard-hitting that you may or may not want to jump into with a client, depending on how the client's interacting with you, is veterinarians are significantly underpaid, and it's not a career that's lucrative. The vets are working here because they love your pet and just want to make it feel better. By addressing that vets are not in it for the money, by informing clients that it's not a lucrative career, by informing them that they are part of the problem when they're making abusive comments, you're able to bring it back to the fact that we need money to provide services. And that's all there is to it. Another comment that we often hear is, you don't care about the animals. This is one that people say on purpose to try to pull at our heartstrings, to try to make us feel guilty. And it works. It does work because we do care about the animals. We already feel guilty that we can't do everything for free. And the fact that they're pulling on our heartstrings, the fact that they're taking advantage and trying to manipulate us is not okay. So when people make comments like you don't care about the animals, there's a few different things that I recommend that you can say to that. One being, you know, we can start by saying caring about animals is the only reason that we're in this profession. Veterinary medicine is difficult and stressful, not lucrative, and has high rates of burnout and mental illness. And it's for the animals and caring about the animals that we're here and that we continue to be in this profession. We love your animal and we love your pet and we want to help it. That is the only reason we're here. Another way that you can word the same thing is, Every single person that works in the veterinary profession chooses this career because they love animals. It's not easy, and it has a high suicide rate of any profession because of its challenges. To say we don't care about the animals is mean and abusive. Once again, you would use that when a client is being overly aggressive, overly mean, and you really need to break that cycle in its track. Another comment that you can make is it is both abusive and mean to imply that vets or nurses working very hard to help your pet don't care about your animal. The exact opposite is true. We are only here because we care about your animal. The next one is probably one of the most common ones that we get, which is vets charge too much money. Oftentimes you'll hear it in lots of different ways and lots of different phrases. How can you justify charging that much? That's ridiculous. All of these comments are really just the same thing of the client saying vets charge too much money. My go-to comment is, this is the cost of care. I give an estimate. When they make a comment, I just say, this is the cost to provide the care that we would like to provide. It's not my fault that medicine costs money. It's not my fault that catheters are expensive, that fluid lines are expensive. And it's not my fault that I want to provide a good level of care for their animal. I've given them lots of different options of different levels that can suit their finances. But at the end of the day, the cost of care is the cost of care. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing they can do about it. They either can afford it or not. So what I would say in terms of responses to this, there's a few different ones. You can say vets and clinics are charging appropriately for the level of care they're providing. You can also say treating animals takes money, time, knowledge, and energy, and all of these need to be paid for in order to continue to provide care. If you're in a country where medicine is subsidized and people really don't understand the cost of care, you can say vet and clinic fees are not subsidized. Therefore, their fees are set to be able to continue providing care to animals. This is the cost to provide the excellent level of care we provide. Or you can say our clinic sets its fees so we can continue to provide an excellent level of patient care. If you're unable to pursue option X, I'm happy to discuss other options of treatment plans. If you don't want to provide the level of care that we're offering, let us know where you'd like to go and we're happy to send the records over. By just simply stating this is the cost of care, you're not apologizing for how much it costs. And so often when we talk about money, we either preemptively suggest to the clients that our costs are overpriced by saying, oh, I know it's expensive, but do you think you can do this? Or, oh, I know it adds up. And really, it's not expensive. Yeah, it adds up because you're doing stuff. But at the end of the day, the amount that we're charging for medicine is tiny compared to what you'd see in the human side or compared to what the actual resources need. And so many vets are underpaid, and that's because the clients are not being charged outrageously. They're actually being undercharged. So first of all, we need to not apologize for the cost. We need to just strictly say, this is the cost of care. And by doing that and changing our terminology and taking that emotion and guilt out of it, we're going to drastically improve how clients perceive the care that we're offering. The next big kind of section of comments that we get is the joking, oh, I'm paying for your Ferrari, or oh, I'm paying for a wing of this hospital. And these are people that, you know, they're not trying to be mean, they're not trying to be abusive, but at the end of the day, these comments are undervaluing and they're belittling you. They are implying that the care that you are providing is overvalued. And that's not okay as well. So we shouldn't just be laughing it off and being like, oh yeah, ha ha ha. We need to be addressing these types of comments so that they're not perpetuated. So I'll say things like, you know, I understand that you're making a joke. However, it's important that you understand that the fees are going to provide care for your animal. Vets aren't taking this home. And it's really important that you understand that. And those jokes are not very nice to make. One of my favorite situations that happened was a client was just being a complete jerk and talking about how expensive everything was and how I'm driving a fancy car. And I just left the exam room. I went, I got my $15 rusted used bike that I got to work because I couldn't afford a car. And I rolled it into the exam room and I just said, this is how I get to work. Their faces just dropped and the comments stopped. And I don't think people realize how mean it is when they're saying those things. So it's important to point it out to them. And obviously, if they're not being abusive and mean, we don't want to be aggressive back to them, but it's important to stand up for yourself. One of my biggest pet peeves is the, if you cared, you would do it for free. We already talked about, you know, you don't care about the animal and that sort of stuff, but it's the, if you cared, you would do it for free comments that are really, really frustrating to me because they're just digging in with the knife and they know what they're doing. They're trying to manipulate you and they're not even trying to hide behind a curtain. They're just directly trying to manipulate you. What I typically say to that is how much I care is completely unrelated to what services we can financially provide. I care immensely, and therefore we should work together to get the best possible solution on a budget that you can provide. So I throw it right back at them. And you can say it nicely. You don't have to be aggressive. This can be delivered in a very positive way, but it takes that comment and it puts it right back on the client. And that's where it should be. It is not your job to financially control or be a financial provider or planner or anything for your clients. Your job is to say, this is the medicine, these are the treatment options, what do you want to do? Another thing that I'll routinely say to people is owning a pet is a privilege, and that comes with a responsibility for that pet at all times, even when it's sick. Part of that responsibility is being able to pay for its care. We cannot provide services for free, otherwise the business would close. And therefore, you need to be responsible for your pet. And none of this has any relevance to how much I care. It's 100% independent to how much I care. Another thing that you can say, you know, is I would love to provide free veterinary care for all animals. However, it's not financially possible given that veterinary medicine is not subsidized or paid for by the government or taxes. Medical care costs money, and that financial responsibility comes down to the owner. I have to charge appropriately, otherwise our business wouldn't be able to provide any service. Another big one that is really, really mean and gets thrown around is, you would rather watch my animal suffer and die than help. And yes, I've heard this multiple times, especially working eMERGE. People hate eMERGE doctors because, you know, you're not the person they trust. They think you're taking advantage of them. They're stressed. It's the middle of the night. All of those reasons. But these comments are not okay. So, you know, when people say those types of aggressive, mean comments, I tend to be a little bit more solid in my response. So I'll say things like, you know, the whole aim of my career is to alleviate animal suffering, and I'm desperate to help your pet right now. I've given you multiple options of what you can choose, all of which are helping to stop any pain or suffering. And it's your choice which you would like to be able to pursue. As soon as you make a decision on which option you're willing and able to pursue, I'm more than happy to get started on helping. I'll also say to people, your comments are abusive and imply that I haven't given you any options, which I have. I have given you multiple options, and it's your choice in which you would like to pursue. By putting it back on the owner and saying and directly outlining that they're implying that you're not helping, but you have, and that they are the ones holding up the scenario, you're once again putting it back on the clients and you're putting it back into the camp where it should be. And you're not allowing that abusive, you know, boulder to continue rolling down the hill. The thing is, clients, as they say these comments, they start to believe them. So unless you really put up a break in the wall so that you can stop those comments and stop them from spiraling in their heads to where they really believe what they're saying, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. So the sooner you can just kind of, you know, nip it in the bud, the better. So as soon as those comments start to come, just nip it, and the rest of your consult will go much better. it is important to understand and appreciate and acknowledge clients when they're upset. So if you see a client that's starting to make these abusive comments and they're obviously very upset, it is really important to address that. And I just directly say to people, I understand that you're getting upset. I understand that this is emotional. I understand that the situation sucks. And I'm sorry that you're in this situation. However, this is the situation that we're in now. So let's just work together right now to find the best possible solution that we can. And let's put these comments, hurtful comments aside, and let's focus on your pet. By doing that, you can try to diffuse the situation of a person that is very emotional, very ramped, very upset, but at the same time, you're standing up for yourself. You're not letting them back down. You're acknowledging the situation sucks, and it does. You're acknowledging that they're upset and that it's okay for them to be upset, but you're also acknowledging and addressing that the abusive comments are not okay and won't be tolerated, but you're happy to move past that to work together to get the best possible care that you can. Another point to address is those people that are becoming overly aggressive, overly abusive, or if the abuse is escalating. When people are yelling and screaming at you, when they're swearing at you, the comment that I just routinely make is, "You are being abusive. We will not tolerate abuse. Please stop or I will hang up." If you're on the phone, "Please stop or I will leave the room." You leave the room. "Please stop or I will call the police." If someone is being aggressive to the point where you're afraid, call the police. That is what they're there for. It's really important for you to not tolerate aggressive behavior and to not let yourself be in a situation where someone is going to be, you know, physically abusive to you. And some people get to that stage. So if you need to remove yourself from the situation, do it. If you need to call the police, do it. Any threat to your bodily harm, you should call the police. That is abuse and should not be tolerated. Another one that you're often going to get are threats to sue you, threats to take you to the board, threats to slander you. And all you can do in those situations is document and record in detail all of the conversations, all of your options. You will never have a lawsuit won for not providing care for free. That is just not something that's going to happen. So as long as you document all of your options and document all communications where the client was abusive, if there's a camera, especially with an audio somewhere, move the conversation to that location so it can be recorded. I worked in a clinic where all of the consults were recorded. And when I first started, I felt very weird about the whole situation. I was like, "Oh, big brother watching me." Within a week, I was like, "This is the greatest thing," because I saw my colleagues who had complaints or, you know, people that come in and try to argue that we said this when we actually said something else. And my manager would just say, "Oh, okay, well, let me pull up the footage." And all of the complaints magically go away. So if your clinic is thinking about getting audio or visual recording in your exam rooms, I say, bring it on. It's great to have. It protects you. Vets, you know, 99.9% of the time are doing their job right, are not making mistakes. We're all going to make the odd mistake, and that's going to happen. However, most of the time that mistake happens because what we have offered or what we have discussed isn't, the clients don't let us pursue it. So really having that audio and visual footage is very helpful. The second last point I want to touch on is internet slandering and social media and that sort of thing. You know, clients are going to try to slander us on social media. They're going to post things about how terrible we are, about how terrible the clinic is. And it's hard because due to confidentiality, most of the time we're unable to respond. You know, whether you talk to a lawyer, every area, every state, every province, every country is going to be different in terms of their laws, but it might be worth it for clinics to, you know, have a conversation with a lawyer about what their legal requirements and obligations are and what we can say and what we can do in terms of this slandering, and also, you know, countersuing for slandering when people are making very hurtful, abusive, untrue comments. The other thing, and the main thing I really want to talk about, is vets and nurses contributing to social media slandering. So many times you see situations where, you know, some client puts their side of the story, which we all know is probably 5% fact and 95% fabricated, on social media. And you have vets and nurses chiming in of, oh, my clinic, or how dare they do that? You know, we've all been there. We all know how much clients just make stuff up. Don't be part of that slandering. Don't be part of the community that is ridiculing and ripping someone apart when they're not even allowed to show their side of the story. If you're a vet, if you're a nurse, and you see a situation and you truly feel that there is a problem with the medicine or the situation that is going on, give that person the benefit of the doubt, be respectful, and contact them privately and say, hey, I saw this situation, I was just thinking this, did you want to have a conversation about it? Slandering on social media and helping to perpetuate these internet trolls is doing nothing helpful to progress the profession. You are part of the problem if you are doing that. So don't comment on any other case. If you think it's a problem, then talk to that person quietly, independently. And also, don't comment on other clinics' fees. They might be in a different country, a different state. Their cost of living might be completely different. Clinic to clinic are going to have different fees, and it is each clinic's individual right and responsibility to set their own fee structure. And any other clinic, you know, if they're overpricing, then they're not going to get service. So it is nobody's business except for that clinic's business about fees they charge. And we should not be commenting on other clinics' fee structures because you just have no idea. Your clinic might pay $100 a month for rent and that other clinic might be paying $10,000 a month for rent. Your fees are going to be different. So don't take part in the internet slandering. Don't be a troll. Don't encourage the trolls. And give everyone the benefit of the doubt. The last thing I briefly want to touch on is, you know, the concept of why we don't defend ourselves. No one needs to give you comments to say everybody can come up with things themselves and a thousand things that they want to say to clients when they're being jerks. I think the bigger thing that needs to be addressed is why we don't defend ourselves. And it happens because, one, we have imposter syndrome where we feel that we don't have value inherently and therefore don't stand up for ourselves. Two, we have this customer service mentality where the customer is always right and we're trying to keep people happy because veterinary medicine is by nature a service industry because we are dependent on people's discretionary incomes. And also, if you're not the owner of a clinic, you're in fear of losing your job or being reprimanded for not being polite to the client. And oftentimes your boss will come in when you've defended yourself or done something or a client's been abusive, and then they'll just completely cut you out from under your feet, undermine you, say, oh, I'm so sorry, and give them their money back, which is just so aggravating. So I think it's really important for every vet practice and every clinic to sit down and have a discussion of how they're going to tolerate abuse. What are you going to do when clients are being aggressive? What are you going to say to clients when they are making mean comments, when they're demanding services for free, when they're saying that we're charging too much, when they're threatening to sue, threatening to slander, all of those things? Collectively, figure out responses, practice them together, and get your boss on board. Make sure that you're all approaching it as a team and practice what you preach. Every clinic is going to need a champion that's going to start doing it so others can follow suit. So make that you. You be the champion for your clinic where you start standing up for yourself so that other people can follow suit. And what is eventually going to happen is you're going to get rid of those people from your practice that are toxic, those clients that just, you see their name on the schedule and you just want to call in sick that day. they're eventually going to go to a different clinic that isn't going to let them get away with the crap of being a jerk. And those are not the money makers in your clinic. You want good clientele that are going to value you, respect you, and pay for your services. Those people that are being abusive, that are constantly wanting a discount, that are constantly wanting money off and, you know, threatening, they are not worth your time. They are financially not worth your time. They're emotionally not worth your time. So get rid of those clients, fire them, talk to your boss about firing clients when they're being incredibly aggressive and abusive. And you know what happens to those people? They eventually go through all of the clinics in the area and then no one will see them and they shoot themselves in the foot. And that is their problem, not your problem. So be part of that solution. Talk to your boss about having a meeting about how you're going to address abuse. And collectively, as a whole, as a clinic, make a strategy and start implementing it. And that's going to be the really important thing that you need to do for that. All right, so that concludes our Responses to Abuse podcast. As you can tell from my voice, it's definitely one that I am passionate about, and I really feel that when we all start standing up for ourselves and when we start putting our foot in the ground and not allowing clients to abuse us, we individually will feel more empowered, and you won't have that interaction, that negative interaction, follow you for days and days and days and ruin all of those good moments. When you stand up for yourself in that moment, it's done. It's gone at the end of the interaction. It's over because you're not going to loop on what you should have said. And then when you have that cute puppy vaccine and you get to play with that puppy, or then you go into a C-section and get to bring those adorable little creatures into the world, you can really feel and embrace and take part in that good experience without it being tainted by these negative experiences. So I just want you, you know, whether you use these responses, whether you come up with your own, the biggest thing is that we all start standing up for ourselves and defending ourselves. And in doing so, you are going to feel more empowered, you're going to feel happier, and you're going to one by one change client perception, but immediately you are going to feel better about the profession. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, advocate for yourself. You're the only one that will. See you next time.